Well, good morning. Good morning. It is good to be here with you all this morning. For those of you who do not know me, my name is Peter Frost. I have the privilege and joy of being the high school ministry director here at Excelsior. I also have the joy of bringing the message to you all this morning. So it is good to be together today. My wife and I, we moved up here from Chicago just before Christmas, which I've heard is the best time to move to Minnesota. So before I preach, I'm the youth guy, right? They gave me a few minutes on stage, so I have to make some sort of announcement about high school ministry. And so I just want to draw your attention to what is upcoming, which is the Chick Auction. The Chick Auction, so for those of you who don't know, Chick is a once every 3 year event. It takes place in Knoxville, Tennessee. Over 5,000 students and leaders from around the country will gather together. It's a time that's challenging. It's a time that there's a lot of learning and teaching and growing together. It's a lot of fun. We at Excelsior are sending down 31 high schoolers as well as 6 leaders. And potentially, if there's more high schoolers out there and you want to go, we could increase that number. But we're going down there and we're excited. But obviously, to get to Knoxville, that takes money, hence the Chick Auction. So, the Chick Auction, what happens is people donate experiences or items, and I will, we had a really creative one come in this week, so I'm going to go ahead and read that for you here just in a second, get your creative juices kind of flowing. But you can donate an item or an experience, and then you can also show up on April 25th. You can bid on these things. There's going to be some awesome items this year. So let me just read you. I'm just going to read you one that came in this year, and then we'll jump in this morning. Are you going to travel soon and be in need of some loving care for Fido or Fluffy? This is your opportunity to avoid asking your neighbor or your in-laws for one more favor. You know they already owe you big time, and they have better memories than they give you credit for. Rather, let the Streed family provide free dog care for up to 1 week at Galpin Lake Dog Yoga and Retreat Center. This will solve your dog sitting problem the next time you travel, but more importantly, it will also answer your prayer, Lord, help me become the kind of person that my dog thinks I am. Talk about a win-win situation. All right, so that came in this week. The opportunities, the possibilities are limitless. So if you think it's a good idea, you can shoot me an email, peter@excelcov.org. There's also a form on the church website, excelcov.org. Yep, that you can go there and you can just send it straight through. Crystal clear? All right, let me pray for us this morning. God, may you in all serious, even more than the people that our pets think we are, may you make us into the people that you want us to be. Almighty God, this is your church. Take our failures, take our insecurities, God, and would you use them for your glory. God, would you take our sins and would you cleanse them? And would you use the healing of our brokenness for your good in perfect works. God, may the marks of disgrace become the marks of your grace. May marks of our failure emerge to show clearly how your power is indeed made perfect in weakness. God, may deep-rooted shame erode under the torrent of your love, giving way for us to claim that we are daughters and sons of the King. May you, O God, have your way in us this morning. May you speak to each of us just where we are. May your spirit call us back to life once again. And may we not resist you, O God, on this journey, no matter how daunting or dim or obscured the path may seem. For in you, O Lord, there is no condemnation. Speak to each of us this morning. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Amen. So I don't know about you, but oftentimes I find myself doing these things that I wish I did not do, and not doing things that I wish I would do, right? It's like, I know I don't want to do this, and yet I do it anyway, and this I wish I wouldn't do it, and yet somehow I end up doing that. Here's a perfect example. When you're in a conversation with somebody, maybe a loved one, maybe a kid or your parent or a spouse or a close friend, and they say something, and something pops into your head, and you have, at the same time it pops into your head comes the thought, I shouldn't say that. And yet it makes it out of your mouth before that thought can censor it, and you've said it. And now you have done that thing that you wish you did not do. Are you guys with me? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys that happened on the way to church this morning, right? We can be honest. We're family here. We can be honest. So all of a sudden you've said it and it's too late. It's out there. And you've done this thing that you wish you did not do. Maybe conversely, maybe there's something that you wish you would not, that you wish you would do that you don't do. Maybe you wish you spent your money differently. Maybe you wish you dealt with your sexuality differently. Maybe you wish you communicated differently. Maybe you wish your tone of voice could be different, and it gets out there, and you do this thing, and you wish you hadn't done it, or you don't do it, and you wish you had. You guys with me? Right? I mean, maybe you're not, but this is Monday morning from 7:30 to 8 for Peter. All right? You just kind of all over the place. That's just what happens. The passage that Eric read for us this morning, it starts with the word therefore. And anybody who's an English language kind of has studied it at all knows that when there's a therefore, that's a concluding word. In this context of the things I wish I did not do and the things that I do that I wish I did not do, that kind of sets the tone for where this passage is heading, right? And Paul goes through and he says, I do all these things and I wish I didn't do them. And I don't do these things and I wish that I did. And even when I try, I can't. And even when I try, I do. And I just can't get it right. And then he just kind of glosses over and he says, therefore. But right in the middle, what he says is he says, well, what a wretched person I am. But thanks be to God that he's taking care of it. It's just almost like a passing breeze, period. And then he says, therefore. And he just moves on. Right? Something goes on. He just all of a sudden, I can't get it right. It doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter how hard I try. Therefore. And that is where our text picks up this morning. So, if you guys are okay with that, I think we're just going to jump straight in to this text. So this is what Paul writes. He writes, therefore, there is now no condemnation. No condemnation is always good news, right? That's good news in your family. That's good news in your workplace. That's good news when you're driving and you get pulled over and you let off with a warning, right? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life, and we're going to come back to that, the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. Pause. Paul's saying something there. Look at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, what was the law supposed to do? Right? What was the law supposed to do? Paul just says the law was powerless to do this thing, but what was that thing that it was powerless to do? Just earlier in chapter 7, Paul says this. He says, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. That's interesting, right? He says, I wouldn't have known what sin was had it not been for the law. So what is the law supposed to do? It's just supposed to make us feel guilty all the time, right? That's it, just so we feel bad. But no, here's the reality. Cain, in Scripture, Cain murders Abel well before there's a law about murder. Murder isn't wrong because there's a law that says it's wrong. Murder is wrong because it doesn't honor the sanctity of life that God wants us to honor. You guys with me? Slander is not wrong because there's a commandment that says you shouldn't slander. Slander is wrong because it doesn't honor the image of God that each of us possesses. To tear down someone is not honoring God's creative work. Are you with me? The law doesn't make it wrong. The law simply illuminates what is wrong. Here's another way to say it. The law brings awareness. What the law was supposed to do is bring awareness, right? If I don't realize that when I'm communicating with my wife, I have a tone of voice that is not good, I can't do anything about it. But when I realize something's not okay, all of a sudden I have the opportunity to do something different. So the law brings awareness, and when this awareness shows up, awareness leads to opportunity. Right? Until you're aware of it, you can't do something. Once you're aware of it, you actually can respond. So what was the law supposed to do? The law is a way for us to be aware of these things that are already creating death. Like when you gossip about somebody, you walk away and you know, at least I hope you know, you realize, man, I shouldn't have done that. Or like you slander, or you envy, or you lust, or whatever it is for you, right? Like you do those things and you feel this mini death inside you. The law makes it clear what's going on. The law doesn't make it wrong. The law just brings awareness to what's going on. Are you guys with me? And this sort of awareness leads to opportunity. But here's what Paul said. He said, here's the law that was given, but it couldn't do what it was supposed to do because it was weakened by the flesh. Here's how Paul says it in Romans chapter 7. He says, for sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me. And through the commandment, put me to death. He almost talks about sin is this like active part of us, like this active entity that's warring against what we wish we did, right? We have over here, we have maybe what we hope we could do, and over here we have what we hope we won't do, and sin is always pulling us in the wrong direction, right? It's not sin as an action. It's not sin as slander or sin as envy or sin as lust. It's this active thing that sin, when the awareness comes and the opportunity comes to make the decision, sin tries to lead us in this direction that leads to death. Versus the law was bringing about the awareness to lead to life. You guys with me? You guys with me? All right, we're just going to keep going. This is what Paul says. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Do you know what Paul's not doing here? You notice what he didn't do? He didn't list all of these sins and say, if you do this, it's wrong. If you do this, it's wrong. I fear sometimes in Christianity, sometimes in religion, we set up these bounds of here's what I'm not supposed to do, and here's what I am supposed to do. And as long as I stay somewhere vaguely in the middle, I think God is happy with me. But that's not what Paul is saying here. Paul is talking about sin in a completely different way. He's saying those who have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Now, if you make it your goal every morning, all right, I'm not going to slander. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to envy. I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to talk bad to my husband or wife or my kids or my coworkers. Don't get me wrong. Those are good goals. But I just want to offer you something. Your mind is still set on the law. It's on these things. What you're doing is you're clenching down. You're bearing down. You're grabbing your own strength and saying, I'm going to get through this. What Paul is saying is instead of fixing your mind on the flesh, that is the sinful nature, these actions, he says, why not instead set your mind on what the Spirit desires? Are you guys with me? This is a complete shift in how we do life. It's not about setting these bounds of extremes and staying in the middle. It's about looking to the Spirit. Elsewhere, Paul writes that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Does that sound like things that you want in your life in increasing measure? I know I do. And Paul says, can we set our minds on the things of the Spirit? Can we allow our minds to be redirected to what the Spirit wants to do? And so, church, I think we have to ask ourselves this question this morning. What is your mindset? What is your mindset? Do you find yourself leaning into your power more and more? And you're simply saying, I'm going to bury it inside. I'm going to make sure no one knows I'm angry. I'm going to make sure no one knows what's going on. I'm just going to shove it down. I'm going to hold it in. I'm going to get through this somehow. Paul's saying that is a mind that is set on the sinful nature, and that will lead to death. And I think that if you've ever tried to hold it all in and hide it long enough, the reality is that sin always seeps. And we know that. And Paul is saying, instead of holding on tighter and trying to get through on your own strength, Paul offers us this. In church, maybe this is something for you this morning. What is your mindset? Can we shift it? Can we say, you know what, actually, I've tried to control these things. I've tried to redirect. I've tried to hold it in. I've tried to just get better through the law. Can we instead shift our minds? Say, Spirit, I want to set my mind there. Paul goes on and he says this. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. I don't want us to miss this. Last week was Easter. What did we celebrate last week? Resurrection. Literally, that a person died on a cross, was in a tomb for 3 days, and then was raised back to life. I mean, the scriptures record him walking 8 miles to Emmaus, right? And the people he's walking with aren't watching him limp, thinking, he must have been crucified 3 days ago, right? This resurrection Spirit remade that body. He appeared to his disciples in a fullness of health that led them to give their lives to what he had laid before them. They would be killed for claiming Christ, right? It's not like this resurrection spirit was kind of this half-hearted spirit that barely got him out of the grave so he could limp around. Resurrection spirit transforms a life. And so, church, the same spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also, don't miss this, give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. I don't know where you find yourself this morning. I don't know what your week has looked like. I don't know what your life has looked like. But I wonder if sometimes, or for some of you, the thought is, I'm just too far gone. I've been wrestling with this for too long. It's never changed. I've asked so many times and it's never gone away. I don't know if I can ever be kind like that. I don't know if this addiction is ever going to stop. I don't know if the anger or the passivity or the shame or the fear or whatever it is that you are carrying. Maybe you find yourself saying it's too far gone. But church, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies. That is a spirit of power. And I want to say to you this morning, if that's you, I'm too far. I'm too far gone. You're not too far gone. The Spirit of God can work in your life to heal these things, to change these things. I'm telling you that if you're wondering, can this change? The answer in Christ Jesus is a resounding yes. God wants to give life to your bodies through the same Spirit that lives, that raised Jesus from the dead. That is good news. And Paul goes on, he says this: the Spirit you received brought about your adoption. And now in the Greek, this term for adoption is the term for full legal standing. This isn't a partial adoption. This isn't like, hey, your backdoor company, right? This is like your front door company. You're part of the family. Everything we have, you have. You're brought in. God sees you as worthy of full adoption. Do you believe that this morning, church? That the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead is speaking to you and knocking at your life, saying you are worthy of full adoption. The God who created you, created this world, is inviting you. Come. Be part of the family. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Some of you this morning in your spirit, you need to know that your spirit can shift and it can also testify that you have a place in the family of God. That when you experience that, that God, that you will find a home in God, that your spirit will speak to that. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Two things for us this morning as we wrap up. Share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Some of you have been suffering for a long time. And some of you have been suffering silently for a long time. And maybe you think it's never going to change. Maybe it's this recurring pain in your body. Maybe it's something in your soul. Maybe it's deep loss and you're just suffering. And I want to offer two things to that. One is, there is a promise that the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead wants to raise that up in you, wants to heal that, wants to resurrect that part. But I also want to give you another promise, that in our sufferings, in maybe a counterintuitive way, when we are suffering, that is when we find ourselves most closely aligned with God as he suffered on that cross. That our suffering Savior knows what it is. And if you find yourself in deep suffering, know that God is intimately there with you. Because he has been there. And that when the suffering doesn't shift and doesn't change as fast as you want, in some sort of way, you're closer to God in that moment. You can be more intimate with Jesus in that moment. And the other thing that I want to offer us this morning is that that isn't where Paul ends it. He says, in order that we may also share in his glory. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Church, that Spirit desires to give life to your bodies. Do you believe that this morning? And not just your physical bodies, your soul, your emotions, a vibrancy, all encompassing. God wants that sort of healing and that sort of living in your life. And so I think the question we have to ask ourselves is this. Are you willing to let him? Are you willing to let God bring about that life in you? Have you held on long enough? Are you done saying, by my strength? Are you done kind of gritting your teeth and holding on tighter? Are you done trying to manage your own sin? Are you done trying to sit between these extremes? Are you ready to shift your mind? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So church, this morning, are you willing to let him? Where is your mindset? Where is your mindset? Let me pray for us this morning. God, I know that for as many people that are in this room, this lands in a different place. And yet, Holy Spirit, we know that you are at work in each of us, God. We know that you want to break through in each of our lives. And so, God, I ask that you would pick up these pieces, that you would pick up what has been said in the stirrings that you have done, God, and you will bring that forth. God, I ask for each of us that you would give us the courage to answer honestly, where is our mindset? And God, I just hold you to the promise that when our mind is set on the Spirit, that you will bring about that new life. God, may you help us to see that this morning and this week. As we have a chance, even in this service, God, to come to the table, to partake in the promise of sharing in your sufferings, that we can share in your resurrection. God, I ask that you would meet us in that place. That you would help us see where our mindsets are and to release in the areas that we need to release. Because of your power and the riches in your Son, Jesus. Amen.